Yeah, welcome everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge International, and today is August 14th, so 2020. So we're going to talk about today, just about some of the people in the course were talking about asking for just a review and learning about different coaching tools and exercises and assessments that you could do with athletes for different situations. So just wanted to, you know, kind of talk about that and what kind of tools you could use. And then also if you have questions about what you'd like more of, let me know. And there's different tools within the PECI website that I just wanted to highlight as well. Like there's a workbook. If you go to the PECI, maybe not now, but later, you could go to the Performing Edge Coach website there, and there's a tab at the top that says Coach Resources, and there we have a workbook for athletes that I'm adding to. It's based on the Performing Edge Coaching book, your Performing Edge book that I have, and different questions and workbook exercises that your athletes could do within that. So that's, I wanted to give an example of how you might use that with your athletes and go over any questions that you have, and coaching tools, assessments, and you know, the three P's that we talk about, positive images and power words, present focus, those are always really good tools as well. And then different exercises that you could do for athletes, especially with when they're under pressure, or in this case under the pandemic, maybe they're not under enough pressure, or there's a different kind of pressure to have to work out if things aren't opening up, depending on what state you're in or what country you're in, and how things are working there. But the main, of course, the main purpose for these calls is to answer your questions. So anything that you have that comes up, I'm happy to help you with. Dave, I know you're there. Did you have any questions or anything that you wanted to bring up? Anything that you're stumped with right now, or thinking about? I know in your move to Utah that's coming up.
I would just say that the workbook, thank you for guiding us on that, because that is something that I will definitely be accessing. I think that's a really helpful tool, just, you know, based on the situation. I'll just be referencing that as kind of as needed.
Yeah, and okay, good. So we go over the workbook here, oftentimes if you have an athlete that doesn't have a direct, you know, a specific question, or doesn't have enough direction, or isn't sure where to, how to begin their mental training, then that's a good place to work to kind of give them specific exercises to do with mental training, and ask them specific questions. So, yeah, we can start with that. And then I added, just yesterday, I added a new tool in there under a section called Coaching Tools. This is a progress log, so that's some questions you can ask about their progress. Some of the tools that are in there already are in the workbook, and then coaching tools, and then there's also speaking tools listed, how to hire you as a speaker, a speaker agreement form that I designed, and you can use, and then each of these things you can change and modify to your own needs, put in your own name and your business, your contact information, and add anything you'd like. You're free to use these however you'd like. And then with exercises there, I've got a confidence exercise for coaches and athletes mental strength building. And then there's another article with homework exercises for athletes, like how to go from negative to positive thoughts and how to handle adversity, and And then another one on visualization and how to use the MP3s and the audios that you can create for them that you're learning in this course. And then also there's a section there under Coach Resources on assessments for coaches and clients. So you can, there's one called Vision Values Assessment for athletes, so they can kind of look at their values. There's one called that I designed called Athlete Event Critique. So this is like a post-competition assessment tool after an athlete's done an event, so they can evaluate how they've done and or how they feel about it and what the learning was, how to improve. And then there's a good one for that I designed after I was injured myself. I went through a big process. I had 7 years ago, I was in a bicycle accident and broke my left leg and left femur bone and had to go through a lot of recovery. And so I designed this injury recovery checklist and plan there. And so that's very specific for all kinds of, and I designed it for, you know, a specific situation for what I was going through with a broken left leg, but you can change it to most of the stuff there. All of it is really relevant to any kind of injury. And then you can change that to, be specific to your own athlete's injury or yourself if you got injured doing something. And then there's one called Prepared to be Coached questionnaire. So you can ask your athletes if they are prepared to be coached and what they're, if they're sort of mentally ready for that and if they know what coaching is. So that's a good one to offer right at the beginning, or if you're not sure. Sometimes some people in this program are just, you know, have just done this course. If you're not a psychologist or a therapist, then, you know, that just only work with athletes that want to do work with a specific sport in their goal setting and not get into deep mental disorders. If they you know, need to work on a deep mental disorder or emotional issue, you can you know, use that questionnaire to discover that, and if you need to refer to a therapist or psychologist for the other issues they're working on, and then you can continue to work with them on the sports mental training part. So that's one option there. So yeah, so let's get into the workbook first. So those are the things that you can access currently in the Coach Resources area of the Performing Edge Coach website, and I'll be adding more to it as we go here too. So one example, like with I take each of the chapters. Like the second chapter in the book is called Performing Edge Principles, and you could go through there. And, you know, ask, you know, you talk about if an athlete, ask them if they've been totally, ever been totally in sync with an activity that they were doing. And, you know, ask, have you ever had the sense that for a single moment you were in complete control and you had this intense pleasure and action? Most athletes, I'm sure, have had a time when they felt really good and pleasure, or else they wouldn't be continuing it. So you feel like you could continue it all day regardless of the outcome, and it could be a personal goal, workout, doing a competition, or it could be spending quality time with someone you care about. Any of those things could be like a peak, you know, being in sync or being a peak experience. And then ask them, think about that time when you were at your absolute best, and can you describe it in detail? So that's a good way to... with these questions, you could either do them in person. I think that's better to do them with or in person or by phone. Of course, now during the pandemic, we're doing a lot of phone and Zoom calls, so you could ask them to just talk to you about that, describe it in detail when you were at your absolute best. And that's a really good positive way to start a session. And then have in their five senses, and, you know, what did you notice the most? Your visual sense, what did you see? Auditory, what did you hear? Kinesthetic, what were you feeling emotionally and feeling, you know, in your body? Like with swimmers, they'll have the feel for the water, that kind of thing, and then what was most meaningful about that peak experience for you. So those are, you know, the meaning part is really where you can kind of get even deeper into the conversation. But why was that so important to you? And then, so that brings up when athletes are lacking motivation, you know, what is it that keeps them going or what can keep them motivated there? And so those types of questions are really good to engage the person, and then asking them, you know, about role models too. You know, think of a different person that you have seen. You know, think what athlete examples or peak performance stories stand out in your mind, and ask them that. Sometimes that can be really motivating to someone in your sport that you really look up to, or it could be someone. And it could be far, you know, presently or far back in their mind. Like I remember when I was just starting to get interested in running, this is back in the late 70s. Yeah, I'm aging myself here. But when women didn't have a lot of support and there weren't a lot of sports programs for women, but I remember seeing for the first time a woman on the cover of Runner's World magazine. It was, I think, Gail Barron after she'd won, it was a Boston Marathon or New York City Marathon, and I thought, wow, a woman can get on the cover of a magazine? And this is really early days, but it really had an impact on me. A woman can get on the cover of a magazine for sports, not just for glamour, and that had an impact that I, you know, maybe I could get some, you know, there is recognition for women or starting to be recognition for women for their performance for in sports, not just for attractiveness. So so that was, you know, an example of a athlete story that it was had an impact on me and motivated me to run faster and realized that, you know, my performances, I could get articles written about me or interviews, that kind of thing, and could move up in the sport. Maybe not be, I didn't have aspirations of being famous, but just being able to get recognition for the sport, maybe win prize money, that kind of thing, which I was able to do down the road after that. So, and then you could ask, why are these peak performer models important to you, and what can they teach you? So, you know, that's good. What can they teach you is kind of diving deeper into that question. So you can ask them those kind of things, and then you can, in chapter two of the Your Performing Edge book, you know, I talk about that, you know, kind of state of flow and heightened state of awareness that athletes have. So you can ask your athletes about that, you know, the kind of questions. Can you think of a time when you were laser focused on your goal and all the details of that time that you can remember, you know, your training, your competition, what it was that you were doing, what led, and then ask what did you think led up to that time of laser focus for you, and how did you get into that state? So it's good to not, you know, a lot of people think when they had a great performance or great experience, it was just a fluke or was not, you know, it was just by accident, that's probably never going to happen again, they are thinking. But actually, you can, you know, think that is the time of, that's probably there were certain things that you did to get into that state beforehand. Maybe good sleep the night before, or visualizing the performance, or something that you are of weight, you know, of something that you did to where you wrote down your goals. So, you know, looking back at what a lot of athletes don't really consider how they got there. So really having to reflect on that is good. And then you can think, ask them of that a lot of athletes report feeling of power during an optimal performance, and that transcends their usual level of strength and energy. And ask your athletes, can you remember a time, an example, when you felt the most powerful doing something in your life? So, you know, ask them to relate that to you and give give those examples. There might be several examples, kind of thing. And then in the book, in the second chapter there, I talk about athlete expressions for the optimal experience, and I list a lot of things there, and you could ask athletes to. In the workbook, then I print those out and give a little place next to it to so they can rate themselves or put a yes, put an X next to each one that describes what you notice. You know, things like feeling mentally focused, physically relaxed, calm and at peace, strong and powerful, light and fluid. That helps them identify, yes, wow, I did feel this what contributed to doing well. They might notice that I felt completely engaged, I felt detached from the outcome. And so ask them to, identify those things that they did notice and realize that those are powerful feelings and that they can make those happen again. And then you can go through and just give an example of a time when you felt some of those things, feel totally immersed in an activity or focused on a present moment that was so intense that almost just like you could, you could foresee your actions before they occur sometimes. And, feeling like you have the ability to meet the challenge ahead, even though it's really a difficult one. When the past and future seem to fade away, and describe what that's like when you're only just in the present. So, I was just going to ask you, Dave, listening to this, since you're on the call, I know you've done triathlons, and is there a time when you felt like those kind of feelings, like you've been totally in the present, like you could really had a real major challenge and that you could meet that challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I would go back to even my javelin days, just controlling my heart rate, just that feeling I had just prior to the throw, kind of an elevated sense of awareness. And it's interesting because right after the throw, I could not remember, like it was muscle memory, but it was just perfectly in sync. My steps were there. It was an amazing feeling. Hard to replicate, but possible. And that's what I loved about that experience, is that I knew it was there.
Yeah. Was that in high school or what?
No, that was at the college level.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Were you in the top competition?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to do it in high school because it wasn't part of the programs. But when I got into college, I picked it up and I did it for 4 years. And there's a couple of championships that I was in my junior and senior year where I really got to experience that peak moment where I was just kind of in flow and the throws just came so natural. And I wasn't injured, fortunately, so I was able to actually pull it off a couple of times successfully, meet after meet. So that was a good period for me.
Yeah, do you remember what led up to it? What allowed that to happen? Were you in a training period of your life, or was there a certain thing, good coach or good focus?
Yeah, at that time, we were working with Betty Wentz, who is an Olympic sports psychologist.
And yeah, we also both know, yeah.
Yeah, and then Harmon Brown, who was also one of the Olympic coaches, and he did the javelin throwers, too. He really liked javelin. So I had the benefit of having two coaches, especially Betty, who really focused on the mental piece, and she gave us all kinds of tools, mindfulness tools to kind of use pre-event, which really helped us out.
Yeah, she was. Was she at your college right there?
Yeah, yeah. She came out like once every couple weeks, and we would do a training session in a classroom, and then she'd come down and watch us throw and make a few suggestions.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. Because. She was one of the real pioneers in sports psychology, for sure. And So it's and then yeah, she passed away many years ago, right?
Yes.
But she was someone that was so influential in the sport. What state were you, in Washington then, or somewhere else?
Oh no, I was in California. I was at Cal State Hayward at the time, and her and Dr. Brown would confer all the time, and some of the breathing techniques that we were given, the imagery techniques, those were really helpful, and I took that with me, you know, from 20 years ago. So I feel like that's a tool that you can use for the rest of your life once you get it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, breathing techniques are so critical for performance, for competition, and for just reducing anxiety. You know, now during this the COVID-19, and to give that sense of confidence. So it's great that we're in such a wonderful field, aren't we, with sports psychology, that it's something that we can teach people. And also teach techniques that apply to everyone and every part of life, you know, for the being able to perform and, you know, just even giving a talk or even being able to handle a conflict or a confrontation, you know, breathing techniques are critical. So, you know, and one situation applies to another. When you can do the javelin throw really well, it gives you the sense that, well, if I could do this, I could handle anything, any kind of transition or difficult part of my life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's good. And it's good to be able to note. You know, when you have an athlete that has an experience like that, have them write that down. Oftentimes, they'll, you know, they can reflect back and remember other key details that they didn't remember before. And if you take them through a visualization exercise with that, then going back and bringing that, let's say the javelin throw, into the present tense, imagining you're there right now, you know, oftentimes other things will come up that they didn't remember before. You know, remember that you took a few moments right beforehand and said a few, maybe a key word or a phrase, or took a couple deep breaths, or said, being grateful for just being there. All those things are really key to doing well. And then when athletes realize that, they say, oh, that's what I did there. Okay, I can make that a regular part of my routine and to get ready to prepare for the next event. So, yeah, so that's good to go through those feelings of athlete expression for optimal experience in Chapter 2 of the book. And then if you go to the Coach Resources section of the Performing Edge Coach website there, you know, there's the workbook that allows you to, ask these questions, more detailed questions about each area within that, each chapter, and to be able to kind of rank yourself, did I experience this? Or just rather than just putting an X, yes or no, during each one, you could ask them to rate themselves from 1 to 10. How mentally focused was I, 10 being the best, that kind of thing, that gives a little bit more detail. So there's that, and then being able to kind of identify the key characteristics of a performing edge state and being totally immersed in presence and past and future fading away, just being in the present. And sometimes you feel like you have this unusual power that comes in from outside where you can, you know, a new source of energy within yourself. Maybe, you know, in a triathlon, you know, you and I have probably experienced those where you get a second wind, a third wind kind of thing. You feel like you're really tired, but then you can somehow gain more energy. So I know I experienced that in the Hawaii Ironman triathlon. It was tremendously hot, 100 degrees out, and get it out there for 10 and a half hours and more, and just having to kind of keep renewing the energy, even though it feels like the sun is just pounding down, to be able to keep that going and be able to just say, okay, just get to the next aid station and chunk it down to small pieces. So then the exercise, then the, at the bottom there, the next, the last little thing on that section is the power words exercise, and you know, being able to go through and I listed there several phrases you could do before you could say before your next event, and then be able to encourage your athletes to write, say, three more power word phrases of their own. So when they write their own, it's even more powerful. So it's, you know, you can say things like, I'm in my element, I'm fully engaged in this activity. And you could even take those and create a short audio visualization where you re-say those. And going fast feels effortless. And I stay positive and optimistic no matter what happens. I'm tuned into what I'm doing each moment, those kind of things. I fully enjoy every part of my workout and competition. I project energy and confidence. I'm physically relaxed and focused. So those kind of things, and say, maybe say them twice each for each of those, and then be able to say them out loud or silently so they get internalized, and then ask them to write their own power words and statements too, and simple ones, and you know, really make them personalized to that person. Or specific to their event, whatever it is that's coming up. So, Dave, do you have an athlete that you're working with now? Anybody that you could apply these kind of exercises to? Or are you kind of on a break in between?
Because of my transition, right? I can't take a whole bunch of new clients because I'm in between. So just kind of ethically, I can't really do it. Even though I'd like to try, just the work on the house is just, it's too much. So yeah.
Yeah.
When I get down there though, it's full speed ahead.
Yeah. So you can imagine, being able to do this with your new clients in Utah.
Yeah.
So, so that's great. So, yeah, and then another tool that you can use is the sports questionnaire that I designed for. I'm not sure if it's in that. I'll add that to the coach resources area this week. But it's just a basic kind of instead of a, you know, if you're a psychologist or a counselor, you probably take a big history of the person and their background and areas. And I think what I tend to do is with sports people and athletes, they want to get right into the nitty gritty. And then over the sessions, the next sessions, you can get into more of their history and what's gone on. But you want to find out, you know, what is the issue that you're coming here for right now? What brings you here? And then, so I designed a questionnaire that's more mental training oriented, and what can really get them engaged right now. So you want to ask questions like, what do you want from your sports? And in the area of health, mental training, and fitness. And so asking what do you want is really good to start with, and then asking them what obstacles or mental training barriers are getting in the way, so that can help get right into the issues that they are facing, and ask what sports are you involved with. Of course, you know, that's obvious if they tell you they're a swimmer or basketball player, whatever the sport is, but oftentimes they might be a couple of sports too that they're doing, or they're trying to decide between, maybe they're really good at two different sports and trying to decide which one to do, or they have a secondary sport that is supporting the first one. So asking them all the different things that they do. Maybe sometimes athletes have a problem with doing too many sports and are too interested in lots of things. So so that is good to ask them. And then, you know, ask what skills and knowledge do you want to develop? And that's a good question to ask to find out what they want to learn and where they're lacking, what they want from you. And how do you want your sports, your fitness goals to support your personal goals? Like maybe oftentimes if I'm working with a high school athlete, their personal goal is to get graduate from high school and get into a good college that they want, and maybe participate in the sports program there at the next college. Or it could be all levels. Some athletes want to get a sports scholarship. Some athletes are under a lot of pressure from their parents to get into one of the top colleges, one of the top Ivy League colleges, where the only goal or the only measure of success is if you get into one of those top five colleges in the country, the Ivy League colleges, Stanford, Harvard, all those, which is, you know, unfortunately, that's too narrow a goal. And oftentimes you can work with them and with the parents to realize that there's lots of schools that have great programs. And so now with the pandemic, of course, everything's changing, and athletes are having to evaluate what schools are going to offer programs where they can participate in their sports and how they can train, and different schools are going to be developing different programs, different rules. So it's good to ask about that and how their sports are going to be able to fit into their, say, their academic goals. Or if it's an adult who's already finished school, you can ask. Maybe they're just wanting to be able to train well and say compete in an age group. And their main goal is to stay fit, to be able to then focus at work and to be just healthy and fit overall. So, but then there's a lot of adults too that are very competitive, even though they're. It's say within their age group. It might be, you know, I've worked with athletes who are, the speed skydiver, a person who's in a very specific sport that where you jump out of planes and try to fly as fast as you can straight down before you pull your parachute, and very specific kinds of things. And in that case, his goal is to survive, to just come out alive, and as well as go as fast as you can. So you might get athletes that are in really different, interesting sports. Or I've had one guy doing lawn bowling, you know, the opposite of the speed skydiver, who is very interested in just being able to, in accuracy, and being able to hit the targets, and traveled all over the world doing that. So asking those kind of questions, and then you want to ask about physical injuries that you have now or had in the past, because oftentimes if an athlete's had an injury, they have this fear of getting re-injured, so need to work through that. And what do you need to change to help your life move forward? That word change is a scary one for a lot of people, but what do you need to change or improve? So that oftentimes the athlete, let them tell you what it is that they need to change, and what they, sometimes that question will bring out, you know, really deep fears inside, or the longings that they have, and maybe there's conflict with the parents, where they the parents want one thing or are putting way too much pressure on the, say, a young athlete, or they sometimes they want to change something that can't be changed. Like, they want their parents to back off, but their parents are the ones that are paying for their program, so it's good to kind of find out about that, or find out how can they work with their parents. Like this 14-year-old golfer girl that I worked with a little while back was, the parents were way too much pressure following her around on the golf course, and I was I was working with her individually, and I said, I want to coach you on how to coach your parents, how to coach you on how to coach your dad to be able to just be supportive rather than being overbearing and that kind of thing. So it was interesting, you know, being able to give the athlete assertiveness skills and also to be able to realize, well, change what you can change, to have your parents back off a bit, especially during competition. And then I also said the second part is to be able to, within yourself, to realize what can you do. And in that situation, she was, on her father was texting her on the phone while she was playing, while she was competing in her golf tournaments. And I said, one thing you can do is, can you turn off your phone so that you don't get, at least don't get the, and she said, well, I could put it in my pocket, but then she still feels the vibration, and when she has a vibration that she got a text, she knows it's bad news from her father, or her father yelling at her basically on the through the text, so you're not trying hard enough. He would send her those kinds of text messages, and it was just so difficult. And I said, can you, at least during the competition, you can't, she said, they're not allowed to look at phones anyway, so why not, can you power down your phone completely? And that was a totally, for most people, young people, that's a totally foreign concept to be able to power down the phone. And she thought, wow, I never thought of that. And that was so, she did that, it was so empowering to her to be able to just turn off her phone while she was competing. And she feared that her father would get upset, but he didn't. She, explained that she needed to do that to be able to focus. And that just that simple thing was something that she could change to help be able to compete well. So it's finding out what the situation is and what is in, they do have power over is really important. And then being able to kind of go through the different options with the person and for her to explain to her father that that's important. So that's a way that she could change something within herself and then also improve communication with her dad. And being able to be assertive with her parents can help her to be assertive in many areas of her life. So that's a good questionnaire kind of thing at the beginning of the sports questionnaire. I'll send you that this week, too, to make sure you have that. And you can then put your own information on there, of course, and customize it for you. So you can talk about sports and health and fitness and balance. And then you can also ask on the questions like, what special interests do you, what social interests do you have? Maybe they have an interest in something, and maybe they want to be, like if it's a golfer, maybe they want to be a golf coach, or if they're an athlete, maybe they want to then turn that into a career, being a physical therapist or sports psychology expert. So asking, what do you do when things get stressful? You know, that's a good question to ask for. Finding out how they, getting often the bad habits will come out then about athletes thinking about their maybe addictions that they might have, or they might be really have some things that they've never shared with anyone else that they share with you. What they do, some people get really anxious and get really stressed, and or maybe thoughts of depression, thoughts of suicide, those kind of things can come out sometimes, and it's important to know those things. And then asking, what do you believe in strongly? That's a good question to find out if they, you know, they might have some religious beliefs, or they might have some beliefs in some principles of life that are important. With women, they might believe in strongly that, you know, women should be able to compete on a world-class level and get paid equally to men. Just asking what their beliefs and values are is a good question to open up where they're at and what they can rely on when things get tough. And asking what vision do you have for your life is a good one to just open up the whole area of what they see. Maybe some athletes really want to go far with their sport and want to go become a professional or go to the Olympics or get a compete in college or a sports scholarship. Other athletes may just want to want to have fun and want to be able to participate in their sport, but their parents may have a whole different vision. They're putting way too much pressure on them to perform at this top level to get into this top school. So it's good to find out what their vision is of their life and find out. And that's why before the pandemic, when we were able to meet with people in person, I would meet with the parents. If it's a student, I'd meet with the parent and the child for the first half an hour or so in my office so I could get a sense of what the parent's viewpoint is and how the communication is between the parent and the child and what the parent answers for the child and whether they let the child talk. And you can see a lot of the body language and the eye contact. You can tell whether there's agreement or disagreement there. A lot of the nonverbal communication you can tell, and so that's really important. That it's really good to see that. Right now during the pandemic, we're all longing for that or missing that part, the eye-to-eye, the eye contact and being able to be there with people with the full energy. But, we'll get back to that at some point here. And if you're meeting, it's a nice thing, we're in sports, if you can meet people outside and we need to be creative in the ways that we can work with people. You could meet with people going for a walk, perhaps, or on a playing field or on the track and maybe be creative with how you work with them. Then you can, if you're outside, then you can meet and talk with them face-to-face. So it's nice when you can get that kind of situation. So then you can ask these questions face-to-face. You could have them write them down, but better to have them ask them face-to-face or by phone. Kind of thing. And then you could tell me about your family and personal life, and then you can, that way, as opposed to asking specific questions about, tell me about first grade, tell me about second grade, not going through all of that, but giving more general questions, tell me about your family and personal life, let's them highlight what's important and say, tell me about significant events in your life. And maybe there was some kind of trauma that happened, parents divorce or parents a major move in the life, or it could be in cases abuse or neglect. It's good to find out about that to see how they were able to handle those kind of things. So talking about those significant events can really help. Maybe they had, achieved something of significance. So you could ask about peak performances in their career or times when they felt great. So, so those kind of things. And then with the coaching part, so that's a kind of three sections with your assessment of sports and health. And then the second part is more personal values and business, if you're talking with a client about their business. And then the third section is just a smaller one about the coaching, saying, what would you like to get from, what would you want to be sure to get from this performance coaching? Ask them so that you get clear what it is that they want from this kind of coaching. and then asking what steps could you take, say two or three steps you could take immediately that would help you move forward. So asking what they kind of want to do to move forward, and then what changes need to be made to help the coaching be successful. So that way they can give you feedback. And you don't have to ask all these questions in the first session. That's a lot of questions, but maybe over time, over the first two or three sessions, you could ask those kind of questions just to really get to know someone. So let me just check in with you or anyone on the call here. Are those helpful, or what questions do you have about, say, that first session when you meet with someone? What would you like to happen there? Dave, are you there? You
yes.
Have any reactions to that? Or what kind of assessment you could use?
So my history as a therapist, an evidence-based therapist, like engagement as a lead-in, just kind of getting to know those clients and, you know, just kind of speaking to that part about working with parents, that's been part of my focus as well. So, you know, I'm really feeling like my practice will go ultimately a little bit in that direction, working with, parents and coaches and, kids with high anxiety. And I just feel like that that's going to kind of be my general direction. And I think that I'll be able to use those skills, kind of getting in there initially and really figuring out what a client wants and needs, giving them a taste of that, and then kind of building that relationship out. You know, that's generally been how my practice goes. Generally I've been an evidence-based practitioner, but it's been a brief model, so it's like 10 to 12 sessions. So I feel like that falls right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And is Utah, each state is kind of different with their policies, what they're opening up or what they're allowing with sports? Do you know with Utah what they're doing there with their sports programs?
Good question. It's such a sports-oriented city. And, like I said, they're very pro-business. And so even for the counseling license, they want counselors to be able to practice. So they're not limiting people from kind of doing what they need to do there. It's I think it's a little more open than, say, California or even Washington with regulations. So I'll look a little more deeply into it, but I don't think I should have any problem with the coaching piece.
Good. That's great. Yeah, it sounds like a really good move to make there. And so that's good. These are some tools that you can use, and you can add more questions to the questionnaire also. You could also do it, I guess another option would be to put that questionnaire online, say on your website or something, and have people answer questions there. But it's much more, I think, in terms of, in a private section or something, but I think for privacy purposes and just to get to know the person, it's much better to do these questions, over the phone or Zoom or in person kind of thing. So that's good. And then one other exercise I wanted to highlight this time, we could go over more of them next time too, but is a confidence exercise for athletes. I have that listed in there too, of saying, the one that I developed, if you're working with athletes or if you're working with coaches, it's a good one to do, a powerful one. And it's very simple. You just say, you take a piece of paper or on your computer or phone, on the left-hand side, you can write, I feel strong when, and then fill in the blank. And so it's that's a way to identify where you're confident. So I feel strong when, and maybe have about five of those or so. I feel strong. Example might be, I feel strong when I get to, I arrive at my sports practice on time, or when I've had enough time to prepare for my sports before I get there. That could be an example of I feel strong when. And then, or as a coach, you could ask the coaches that same question, an athletic coach, I feel strong when, say, I've been able to have a good session with my athletes and have everyone work as a team or communicated well with them. And then you could, on the right, another side of the right side of the paper, you could write, I feel weak when. And so those might be areas that someone might need to work on. So I feel weak when, say, I don't get enough sleep the night before an important game or something like that. Or I feel weak when I don't communicate what I really feel to my coach or that kind of thing. So it could be strong, and so strong physically or strong mentally, both, when, and right in the fill in the blank, and then say five examples of I feel weak when, and then and you could do this in a group too if you have a group of athletes together, and you know, give them say 3 minutes or so to fill in their answers, and then you could put some music in the background if you have access to that, and that gives some time to help them focus, and then have them say, okay, now the time's up for that. And if you have a group there, you could ask them to break into pairs of two people and have them share their responses for each of the questions. And then they share with each other what their responses are. And then you could have, in a group situation, you could say, okay, person A, tell me what your partner said, and have them share their, kind of paraphrase their response so that they get to know the other person, and then person B shares the response for the person A kind of thing, so that they get to, that way they improve, if they know they're going to have to do that, they improve their listening skills, being able to and bond with the other person. And then after it's finished, you can have one person in the pair report back from and stand up and report what they learned about the other person, you know, to the whole group there. So it could be a powerful emotional experience for athletes that way, and they can learn, wow, so here's where I feel strong, and they learn what their real strengths are, and then feel weak when some people might have trouble being vulnerable there, but if they start with something weak and then, or something that maybe is not too, doesn't allow them to be that vulnerable, then if somebody else might, then they might end up sharing more, you know, deeper kinds of things with each other. So, and then if it's something that they don't want shared with the group, that's good to let the person know that this is something private. So they can kind of feel safe in that situation. That's good confidence kind of activity, I think, where people can share what they know when they feel strong and when they feel weak, and then they can add to that, you know, throughout the week kind of thing. So I've got that, and then so those are some of the exercises that you could do with athletes. And then next time when we do our next call, it's always the second, fourth Thursday of the month, so the next one would be, today's the 13th. I gave the wrong date, didn't I? Not the 14th, but today is the 13th, and so the next one would be August the 27th. And I'll go over some other different tools, assessments, and exercises that you can do, and different kinds of, assessments you can do for different situations. because it is, you know, some very specific ones that you might want to do for, let's say, an injured athlete or somebody who's going through something, say, with their family, all kinds of different things that you might want to ask and be aware of. So, yeah, so just check in and see what, at the end of our calls here, what was most helpful for you, or what was a nugget that was helpful, or something you like to, that you could take away from our phone session here. Anyone want to contribute? Dave, are you there? I don't know if you have something that was helpful for you.
Sure. I just think that those world ground.
That what? I think your phone cut out. Are you there? I think your phone. Okay, I can't hear you. Can I? Or maybe if you push star six, your phone might be muted. Okay. Well, sorry, I can't hear you. Maybe you went out of phone went out of range or something. But Anna L, I think if you're on the call too, and June and Dave, or and John in Nebraska, and you know, Anna L, we want to welcome you from France, joining the program, and I'm so glad that you could be part of our program here. And I know June, you're in Texas working with equestrian athletes too, so it's welcome your comments and your questions, all of you, and who are listening on the call remotely. And so we'll talk. Sorry, Dave, I couldn't. Somehow the phone went out, but we'll talk on our next call on August 27th and talk more about tools that you can use for coaching tools and exercises and assessments. And in the meantime, if you have any questions, feel free to email them to me. I'll include them in our next call as well. So just wanted to thank you all for joining us today. So I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, Performing Edge Coaching International, and we'll also have this recording up shortly, and then we'll talk more. I'll send out my notes from our call as well, and the new assessments. I'll put them up on the website and send out to you by email. So I'll talk to you on our next call, too, on August 27th. Thanks, everyone, and have a good week. And I wish you all the best. It's always an honor to work with you. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye now.